Hi, my name is Rebecca Thompson-Hitt. I'm the founder and executive director of the Consciously Parenting Project, and this is the Consciously Parenting Podcast. We're going to be talking with parenting visionaries, professionals, and parents to guide you and inspire you to be the most connected parent you can be. It was 2004. I had a new baby. My partner was traveling a lot for work. We were all on a special diet. My oldest was having a very hard time with life. And I was pulling my hair out. My neighbor, really well-meaning, lovely, lovely woman, told me that I should just go to get McDonald's to make my life easier. But that really wasn't what I really wanted or needed. I really needed help and I needed community. Maybe you've been in a similar situation yourself. So around this time, a group of friends came together because we all could really use some support around food. Most of us were on some sort of special diet, and we all had small children. How much did we really have to give? We were all exhausted, and we were all, frankly, kind of hungry. We brainstormed together, and we came up with something that would work for all of us, something that felt like we'd be doing less if we worked together. And this was a new experience in my life. I've grown up in the United States. We don't have really strong social community networks of support here in the U.S. And it's been really, really challenging to raise children in this environment. We're all under-supported. And so this situation, this group of people who came together was really life-changing for me because it was really the first time that I had had the experience of a group of people all working together to make life easier. So it really was life-changing for me. It was the first time that I really felt that my efforts were being duplicated and I didn't have to do it all. Every week, I'd make one big meal and divide it up. In return, I'd receive three other meals ready to assemble with all the ingredients. Truly, it was heaven. We all showed up with what we had. We took the things that we didn't mind doing to prepare our meals. So either the shopping or the cooking the whole chickens. There was one mom who just could not fathom the idea of cooking a whole chicken. Grating the cheese, doing the hosting to assemble the food. Whatever we had that we were willing to do that felt good to us, that was easy for us, is the thing that we did. So we didn't pick the thing that we hated. We picked the thing that we were willing to do. So community for us was the lightening of the load. It didn't make our lives more difficult, but made the load spread out over the group, and it became easier for all of us. That's what community needs to be. So as a bonus for us, especially, you know, I had a son who was five and I had an infant, we got to spend time with other grown-ups, and our kids got to play with each other at least once a week. So what can you do to create more community from where you are? Without moving to Portland, as Scott half-jokingly suggested in our series last week, Scott Noel of The Daily Groove, today we're going to explore simple steps that you can take to open yourself up to more community right in your own backyard by showing up with what you have. So it wasn't the beginning, but it is where this story of community comes together for me. A crate of organic apples, a spiral peeler, a dehydrator, and a place to meet that was safe for the kids. This is a story of community. We all showed up with what we had to give, nothing more, nothing left. We left with happy children, and we felt connected to one another. We also may have left with a few dehydrated apples that weren't eaten during our time together, but that was almost secondary. So we all came together with this idea that we would just do whatever we could. We would share what we had. And so when one person said, I have this case of organic apples that I don't know what to do with, and maybe we could do something. And someone else said, I have one of those spiral peelers so we can, you know, make fun shapes with the apples, and it'll peel it and core it and slice it all at once because it's a lot of apples. And somebody else said, well, I have a dehydrator, so I can bring that. And I didn't have any of those things. I didn't have the apples. I didn't have the spiral slicer. I didn't have the dehydrator. But I did have a space that we could gather that was kid safe and kid friendly. And so we all gathered, we all chose an afternoon that worked for all of us, and we all came with all of our kids, and we took turns watching the kids, and we took turns, you know, supervising, you know, the 4-year-old with the spiralizer as they turned the handle to make sure that, you know, that was all working well. And then, you know, we each took turns getting the pieces onto the dehydrator and loading it all up, and somebody else brought cinnamon, and it was that simple. And I just keep coming back to this idea. Community feels so elusive, and it feels so challenging to come up with a way that it'll work to gather together with other people. And we're all different, and our families are all different. And it feels like, as Scott Noel talked about in our recording last week, it just feels like there are so many barriers to creating community. But today I really wanted to talk about how it can actually be simple, and how it's part of it for us to shift our mindset, to start looking at what we're actually doing and what we actually can do that feels doable. Because when we start having these conversations about community, so many people start saying, oh my gosh, I can't do one more thing. I am so overwhelmed. My plate is so full. I have so many places I have to do and so many things, places I have to be and things that I have to do, and I just can't take on one more thing. And so we push out the community. But what I want to illustrate in the story that I just shared is that community is really meant to make our lives easier. So I'm traveling in Mexico right now, and I'm living in a community of expats and indigenous people in the hills outside Oaxaca City. I wanted to study community. I want to understand how healthy communities work. And also, you know, I expect that I'll see some unhealthy communities as well in this mix. But I want to learn from that too. I expected to go up into the hills somewhere to find indigenous people who were still living in their own old traditions to really see community. But I was shocked to find it greeted me when I arrived. There's a group of people here who have come together, who wanted community in other places that they've lived, and they have created it together. So I've landed in this rich environment where community is everywhere. What I've seen is that everyone here shows up with what they've had. Nothing more, nothing less. My neighbors, Lucy and Mike, are from Texas, and they have a car, and they've offered to drive us places. My neighbor, Mary, from Chicago, has a casita and good internet. Woohoo! So she's offered keys to her casita and an open invitation that I could come to work there in a quiet space. They're simply showing up with what they have. I like to cook, so as soon as I figure out what ingredients are available and what I can make well here with what I have, I'll be cooking for these neighbors as a thank you. Because it's something that I have. It's something that I'm willing to share. I don't have to create a new skill or struggle to think of something to repay their kindness. There isn't an expectation that I do. But I will show up with what I have, and it will become clear to me at some point how I can contribute to this community. So my friend Deanne is the one who brought up this idea. We have been having a group of parents who've come together to really explore this idea of community. We are brainstorming, and we're talking about our barriers, and we're talking about where we get stuck. And all of us, just by giving more attention and intention to this idea of community, have been creating more community opportunities wherever we are. We're all seeing it. And Deanne came back onto our call this last week, and she said, you know, what I'm really seeing is that if I just show up with what I have, with the skills that I have, with the things that I enjoy, other people are showing up. How powerful is that? We don't have to reinvent the wheel here. We need to just show up with what we have. Like so many of us, she didn't want to have someone do something for her that would feel like she needs to reciprocate when she can barely do what she needed to do for herself. And so this idea of just showing up with whatever she has and people just showing up for her is what's been happening. So it's a really powerful yet very simple idea. She gets to share her gifts, and others then share their gifts. So Scott Noel last week talked about a fabulous idea called Playborhood, where families could move their play equipment to the front yard and create a space for kids and parents to gather. This works great for those who have the space, the time, and the desire to do something like this, but it isn't for everyone. If this works for you, do it. It would be super awesome in the right location with the right people. But I encourage you to think of this. What can you easily do from where you are right now? So a friend of mine, Rachel, has a lovely space to offer where others can gather together. She's also really good at holding space for conversations. If she shows up and offers this to the people she knows, they might just show up with a casserole and a guitar to share their music. That's community. Maybe your gift is helping people feel welcome. So consider inviting other parents to meet at a child-friendly place, a park, a restaurant, or the beach. I'm a little, partial to Florida. And talk about what you're all needing. You might just find a way to help each other, just like my friends who cook together. Begin by asking what each person can easily share. Nothing more and nothing less. Just begin. It's as close as a case of apples, a spiral peeler, a dehydrator, and a space to gather to help with the kids. So begin this conversation with what do you have to share? What are the things that come easily to you? Do you like being with children? Do you like to cook? Do you have a space in your home for gatherings? Do you know of a good spot? Are you good at organizing? Are you a teacher? Do you have something that you want to share? Do you love to garden? You begin to create a space for giving and receiving when you start with this question. You're creating a container. You're creating a space for community to emerge. And then the secondary question is, what do you need? What would make your life easier? Maybe it's food, like it was for me when I had a new baby. And frankly, it's something that always makes my life easier. Maybe it's help with the kids. Maybe it's a date night with your partner. Maybe it's an adult conversation without getting interrupted, if that is even possible. Start by identifying what you need and what could be helpful to you. Name it, if only for yourself. So many of us have never asked the question, what do I need? Many of us were never asked that question, what do you need, when you were growing up? And so as adults, we don't ask that question. So I want you to consider what it is that you need and then just entertain the idea. Maybe it's a fantasy world right now for you, but entertain the idea that it's possible to get those needs met in community. So for me, I have a long history of starting groups to gather people together. This is what I do to bring people together. That's what I have. I'm good at it, and I really like creating those kinds of spaces. So it's what I've done over and over again for my own little group. I started with the Baby's First Supper Club, which was my attempt at finding other people who had a like-minded passion for the importance of the needs of early childhood and also like to eat good, healthy food. And so we began by just gathering on a Sunday afternoon in a park, and I had a large group of families in a very short period of time who could gather on those values, who understood and really felt the importance of meeting the needs of our young children and who really liked good food. We had so much good food. Then I started an Attachment Parenting International group. This was actually pretty close to the beginning of Attachment Parenting International. And then La Leche League. I moved to a new community. I started a new group. And now I've got the Consciously Parenting Project. And we're about to start a project to help bring us all together from wherever we are in our corner of the globe to connect with one another. So watch for that. We've been working on this for the last several months, and we're going to start creating online spaces for us to gather that are off of Facebook. So watch for that. So I answer the question, what can I do to bring even a small group of people together with a big, bold statement and organization? But that's what I have to give. So maybe you have a small garden where you live that you can invite others to visit and learn how to plant or care for green things. I certainly could use that in my life, but it's not something that I'm good at. Maybe you love camping and would love to organize something for others who like to camp. So one last word before I close today. When you begin to look at what you have to offer, consider that there may be people who aren't parents who would love what you have to give. When we only find other people who are in the same or similar parenting phase that we are, we're trying to draw upon others who are similarly depleted and challenged. When we open up that circle to those who don't have kids or who have kids who are older than ours, it opens us up to a whole other set of resources, gifts, talents, and time. When I was working on my very first book, Consciously Parenting, What It Really Takes to Raise Emotionally Healthy Families, my editor doesn't have any kids. And as she was reading the section at the end of the first book on community, she said, "Oh my gosh, I understand. Now that I've read your book, I understand so much more about what I can do to help support other families. Even though I don't have any kids, I'm not married, you know, I've got a couple cats. I have nieces and nephews. I have other small people in my life, and I could help my sister with her kids in a new way now. And I have the time and the resources, and it would feel so good for me." And so that was such a great reminder that there are so many people who are outside of our immediate sphere, and that if we can think about that, who else can we invite in? Who else is in our community? Think of the elders. Think of the people who are no longer parenting. Think of the people who have kids who are in high school or who have just gone off to college. Those people generally have more time. And to really bring the point home, I recently sat with a dear friend's mother whose husband had just died. And this woman was a mother to me when I was in high school. She was the one who drove me places and took me to Florida and, you know, just went way out of her way to do lots and lots of mothering things for me. So as I listened to her, she shared that her grandchildren are her life, and that they're also all in different phases where they don't need as much anymore. Many of them are graduating from college. Some of them are, you know, not in any activities that she can really participate in. And so she actually said that she would love to adopt another family or two so she could help out. So I want to leave you with that thought. There are people out there who would love the opportunity to spend time with you and your family, and that helping you with what they have to share would be a great gift to everyone. So I would love to hear your stories of community. How have you come together with others right where you are with what you have to share? So feel free to email me at rebecca@consciouslyparenting.com or add a comment on this podcast post on my website, consciouslyparenting.com. I would love to hear from you. Next week, we'll be back with a new series on the Consciously Parenting podcast, and I hope that you'll join us.